invite you to remain standing this morning for the reading of our gospel. It comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then looked to one another and said, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna." This was their word for the moment. Hosanna was their testimony. The crowd that was following Jesus was growing. It started growing a few years ago with his teaching and his miracles. And then it grew a little more when he fed 1,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And it grew a little more when Jesus started making noise and causing trouble among the religious leaders. And then it grew a little more when just a few weeks before Palm Sunday, Jesus had brought his friend Lazarus back to life. The crowd was amazed. The crowd really started to believe that perhaps Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus really was there to save them. Lazarus, after all, had been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus shows up and he prays and he says, "Lazarus, come out," and out walks Lazarus from the tomb. And so the crowd is growing and the crowd believes. And the crowd wanted to share what Jesus was doing in their lives and in their world with others. So as they gather in Jerusalem for the Passover, they hear that Jesus is coming. And so they take palm branches and they go out to meet him. And they shout, "Hosanna." And when they shout, "Hosanna," they're shouting a testimony of, "Lord, save us. Be our Savior, Jesus. Save us from what brings us death and despair, in the same way that you saved Lazarus." And they shout, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Be our King, Jesus. Be powerful, Jesus, and change our world, change our lives, change the systems that we live in that cause us hurt and oppression." These were the words for their moment. These were the words that define these people's lives and hope and faith. And then these words take on even more meaning. Because we're told in the scripture that the people don't even really understand on Palm Sunday what is happening. They thought they needed to be saved from the problems of their lives. They thought they needed to be saved from oppression and from Rome. But then later, John tells us that after Jesus is glorified, which is John's way of talking about the resurrection, they see the bigger picture. They remember shouting, "Hosanna," and now they understand that Jesus is not only saving them from oppression and from Rome, but he's saving them from sin and brokenness and death. And they thought they wanted this new earthly king to rule over them, so they didn't have to live under Roman occupation anymore. But then later, when Jesus is glorified, they see the bigger picture. That Jesus came to be the king of our very lives, to rule in our hearts. And they thought that Jesus' biggest sign, which is John's way of talking about miracles, They thought that Jesus' biggest sign was going to be raising Lazarus from the dead. But then later, when Jesus is glorified, they see the bigger picture. They see that the greatest sign that Jesus performs is that through his death and resurrection, Jesus defeats the power of death and sin for good. The crowd proclaims these words in the moment of Palm Sunday. As they lie palm branches down on the ground and they shout, Hosanna. And then the crowd proclaims these words later when they go out and they testify after the resurrection. These are more than just words about Jesus or facts about what Jesus did. These are words of testimony. These are words about how Jesus has changed their lives. These are words that make public the people's inner spiritual lives. And that's why the Pharisees are so concerned at the end of this scripture. That's why they know that there is nothing they can do and that the world has gone after Jesus. Because the people aren't just standing here saying, look, there's Jesus on a donkey. The people are shouting from their very souls that Jesus is the one who's going to save them, that Jesus is the one they want as their king. And that they believe that Jesus is the one who has power over death. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. These are the words for their moment. These are their testimonies. But what is a testimony? Well, quite simply, a testimony is a true story about you and God. So a testimony is a story from your own life. It's not a story about somebody else's life. It's a story that actually, for real, happened in your life. And it's a story that involves you and involves God. A testimony can involve people or places or situations from anywhere, but it has to have you and it has to have God. Testimony is also a spiritual discipline. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines throughout Lent. And while we may be tempted to think of spiritual disciplines as personal or private, testimony reminds us that spiritual disciplines are public as well. We have private spiritual disciplines so that we can publicly proclaim Christ. And finally, since testimony is a spiritual discipline, testimony is something that all of us have. Too often we fall into a trap of thinking that you have to have some sort of dramatic conversion story or some dramatic way that you came to Christ in order to have a testimony. But whether or not you have that, you have a testimony. You have stories about you and God. We have stories about how God has worked in our lives. So then how then do we become people more like the crowd gathered at Palm Sunday? Ready and willing to share our testimonies. Well, first, we must allow our lives to be changed by Christ. The crowd gathered at Palm Sunday had had their lives changed by Christ. They were no longer the people that they once were. And so we also have to let Jesus change our lives. A testimony isn't listing a set of facts about Jesus. A testimony isn't even really being able to say just what happened at church or what happened when you were serving in a ministry. A testimony starts because your life is different because of Christ, when you are no longer the person that you once were. But instead, you've allowed yourself to be saved by Christ. You've experienced Jesus as the King of your own heart. You've been freed from the power of sin and death in your own life. You shout Hosanna and you shout, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, not because everybody else is doing it, but because those words are true in your very soul. A testimony starts when we allow ourselves to be changed by Christ. And a testimony is fully formed when we take the time to connect what is happening in our lives with our faith. That's where the spiritual discipline part of testimony comes in. We have to take time to remember and to reflect not only what happened in our lives, but how God is a part of it. Too often we miss opportunities for testimony because we're so busy just living our lives that we don't take time to remember how God has been at work in them. Just think about what would have happened if the disciples hadn't remembered and reflected on Palm Sunday after Easter Sunday. Because that was when they truly came to know and understand the true story about them and God. That's when they truly understood that Jesus had saved them and was their king. And so we must take the time to, whether by talking with others or journaling or silent reflection, to connect what's happening in our lives with our faith. Because we all have testimonies. We all have true stories about us and God. We have stories of how Jesus saved us. We have stories of Jesus being the king of our hearts and lives. We have stories about how Jesus defeated the power of sin and death in our own lives. About 4 years ago now, my family went through a period where three of my grandparents passed away in the span of 11 months. As many of you who have lost loved ones close together like that probably know, there are times when you go through that where it's difficult even to distinguish where your grief is coming from, let alone to know how God might be at work in your own life. However, now that I'm a few years removed from that time, I've taken the time to reflect, to see how God was at work. I've talked with my family and with others, and I've realized that not only was I changed by God through that time, but I took the time to connect what happened in my life with my faith, and it became a testimony in my own life, a true story about me and God. So I know that God's grace was at work in my life and the various last moments that I was able to spend with my grandparents. And I experienced God's comfort from the love and care that I received from my previous church I was pastoring at the time. And experienced God's love and community and time with my family as we put together picture boards, as we shared meals, and even one night watching the NFL draft with my parents right after my grandpa died, something we don't care about at all. But let me tell you, 2 hours of booing the commissioner can really bring you joy when you're in times of grief. And I witnessed what only can be described as a miracle when we brought my grandma, who was suffering from Alzheimer's, to my grandpa's calling hours. And for a few brief hours, she was completely herself again. And through the entire time, my life was changed when I began to truly understand the hope that comes with the promise that no matter what we face in life, God is always with us. The crowd on Palm Sunday shouted, "Hosanna." And they shouted, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." These were their words of testimony. These were their words for the moment, words that proclaimed a true story about them and God, words that described how they had been changed by Christ. So what's your testimony? What's your true story about you and God? How has your life been changed by God? When has Jesus saved you? When has Jesus been the king of your heart? When has Jesus defeated the power of sin and death in your own life? What's your testimony? And who will you share it with? Who will you share your true story of God and you with? Perhaps you will share your story to invite somebody to church. Perhaps you'll share your story to encourage someone. Perhaps you will share your story to comfort someone. Allow God to change your life. And then take some time to connect what's happening in your life with your faith. That's your testimony. That's your true story of you and God. That's your words for the moment. That's your Hosanna. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, we praise you that you are always at work in our lives. Lord, help us to remember and reflect the ways that you are changing us, the ways that you are at work. And then, Lord, help us share those true stories with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand now as we join in singing hymn number 297, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.